Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I feel so grateful that we're joining together in this time to strengthen these healing ideas for each other in our one mind. Let's begin by allowing our eyes to close. Let's start with taking a nice deep breath. Releasing. If you need to take another deep breath and just release. Turning our attention within to this small willingness. Maybe it feels like we have big willingness. Maybe we feel like it's small. It doesn't matter. Turning our attention to our own willingness. And offering that willingness to our inner teacher. Even the tiniest willingness is a big deal. You should feel grateful that you have that tiny willingness, and I know you do because you're here. So offering that willingness to Holy Spirit and asking for miracles instead. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight. So taking another deep breath, and with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right, so we are going to begin where we left off last week. If you have the Sparkle Edition, that's page 452. At the very bottom, it's the last paragraph. It begins with the sentence, "In the holy instant." That corresponds to the original edition, Chapter 19, original edition by Course in Miracles Society, Chapter 19, Part 2, Paragraph number 14. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, that corresponds to Chapter 19, Part 1, Paragraph number 14. In the holy instant, you and your brother stand. So I actually, since there are some nights when we only read a paragraph, we've actually been in this section for quite a while, and I feel called to just read these three. Maybe I'll pause a little bit, but I'm going to just finish up this section right now at the start of our call, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll continue on. So this has been talking about just in this the paragraph that we ended with last week, our holy relationship with its new purpose, when we give our relationships over to Holy Spirit, the transformation that happens. So let's begin. In the holy instant, you stand before the altar God has raised unto himself and both of you. Lay faithlessness aside and come to it together. There will you see the miracle of your relationship as it was made again through faith. And there it is that you will realize there is nothing faith cannot forgive. No error interferes with its calm sight, which brings the miracle of healing with equal ease to all of them. For what the messengers of love are sent to do, they do, returning the glad tidings that it was done to you who stand together before the altar from which they were sent forth. As faithlessness will keep your little kingdoms barren and separate, so will faith help the Holy Spirit prepare the ground for the most holy garden which he would make of it. For faith brings peace, and so it calls on truth to enter and make lovely what has already been prepared for loveliness. Truth follows faith and peace, completing the process of making lovely which they begin. For faith is still a learning goal, no longer needed when the lesson has been learned. Yet truth will stay forever. Let then your dedication be to the eternal, and learn how not to interfere with it and make it slave to time. For what you think you do to the eternal, you do to you. Whom God created as his son is slave to nothing, being Lord of all along with his creator. You can enslave a body, but an idea is free, incapable of being kept in prison or limited in any way except by the mind that thought it. For it remains joined to its source, which is its jailer or its liberator, according to which it chooses as its purpose for itself. So I'll pause there. Let's return our attention back to this first paragraph that we just read. So this is prompting us to lay our faithlessness aside. If we remember from our reading in the past couple weeks, but from this section, it talks about how faithlessness is the sight of bodies. We can't help but see bodies because we are looking through the body's eyes. We think we are, but there's the Holy Spirit in us that we can turn to ask us to see the truth instead. If I could boil down what the course is all about, it's about withholding nothing from Holy Spirit. That's how we learn to lay our faithlessness aside. So there it says, you'll see the miracle of your relationship as it was made, again, through faith. And there it is that you'll realize that there's nothing faith cannot forgive. So in other words, that makes me think of the lesson, in the not the lesson, it's in the beginning of the first 50 principles of miracles, that there's no order of difficulty in miracles. There's no order of difficulty. So that's what that's saying there, that recognition that there's nothing that faith cannot forgive. No error interferes with its calm sight, which brings the miracle of healing to equal ease. So I love that. That's so reassuring that no error interferes with its calm sight. There's no order of difficulty in miracles. There's nothing that we've seemingly done that's actually done anything. Perhaps we'll say more about that later because it's coming up some more in the next section, a little bit of a theme about that. But that's what comes up for me in that first paragraph. In the next paragraph, as faithlessness will keep your little kingdoms barren and separate, so will faith help the Holy Spirit prepare the ground for the most holy garden which he could make of it. I'll just share a quick story, and feel free. I'm just talking, so anybody, if you have something you'd like to say, please jump in. You're not interrupting me, I promise. I have been, I may have mentioned this before, but I have a Facebook account that is mostly friends from high school and college, and then I have one that I'm probably connected with all of you. It's sort of my course family Facebook account, and the one where it's the one with, you know, friends and college friends, it's been very interesting to see the temptation to engage surrounding politics and even actually sharing a few things on Facebook and having some very vocal Trump supporters step up. And although I perceive myself as talking about it, I'm not sure what their initial perception is in my sharing. And I'm giving this as an example because how it says faithlessness will keep your little kingdoms barren and separate. Although I've given the purpose of this whole Facebook account over to Holy Spirit. So I'm now seeing any interaction that I'm having as an opportunity for healing my own mind, you know, the shared mind. But I've just noticed the fear, even on both Facebook accounts, even just in general with politics, that how when we literally sink into the fear, how that keeps us barren and separate, how just the sheer language of the liberals and the conservatives is keeping us separate from each other. The separateness is just rampant. It's just amazing to be able to you know, sort of step back and witness it. So that's, again, where it's our task to turn to Holy Spirit. So it goes on to say, faith helps the Holy Spirit prepare the ground for the most holy garden which he would make of it. Faith brings peace.
I'm going to jump in here for a second.
True.
Because I go out to dinner every Thursday night with tea party people who are.
Oh, yes. You've talked to them.
Yeah. Okay. So now, since Trump got into office, thank God they're really not talking about it too much. But I actually didn't go for a few weeks. And since I've gone back, they're not talking about it a lot. But I've had to decide. I mean, literally talk to the Holy Spirit before I go into this situation. I'm not going to join in on this because I will attack myself if I do. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, I go in, and I'm really very conscious of the Holy Spirit through the whole dinner. And at one point in time this week, they mentioned they were kind of joking, calling themselves the deplorables, because that's what Hillary called people who plan to vote for Trump. So they call themselves the deplorables. And I thought, oh, God, here we go. They're going to get started now. So I thought, Holy Spirit, if there's anything I should say, what would it be? And I get out kind of my mouth goes, yeah, you're the adorable deplorables. And they got such a kick out of that. And you know what? We went on to something else that had nothing to do with politics.
It.
And it totally shifted the mood. But that's the Holy Spirit right there. Yeah, you're the adorable deplorables. I thought that was really cool.
I love that, Paula.
That just turn the whole thing around. So that's my contribution here.
I absolutely love that. And I just want to highlight, too, how you paused and asked. You know, in every situation, we can't always make a blanket assumption that, you know, Holy Spirit guided me to shut up 2 weeks ago, so therefore I'm going to keep being quiet now, or vice versa. We always have to ask in every moment. Not that we have to get compulsive about this, because whenever, if we forget, that's fine. We turn back to Holy Spirit when we remember. But it's been a moment-to-moment practice for me to do that. And so I just wanted to emphasize that that's what you did, and what a beautiful example of the outcome.
Mm. I got such a kick out of it.
I love it. Thank you, Paula, for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I'll just add with this second paragraph that we read, I just wanted to highlight the last two sentences, actually. For faith is still a learning goal, no longer needed when the lesson has been learned, yet truth will stay forever. I like that because the course even says there's going to be a time when we don't even need Holy Spirit anymore because the Holy Spirit's job will be complete, but the truth will stay forever. So this is also just reminding me of that. For faith is still a learning goal. We're learning the development of trust. And once we remember holy truth, when we reclaim the knowledge that we threw away, the lesson's been learned, and yet, so we won't need faith anymore. But truth will stay forever. So I just found that to be very reassuring. And then I'll just highlight the next sentence, and then I'll again, I want to turn it over to see if anybody has anything to say. It says, this very next paragraph, let then your dedication be to the eternal, and learn how not to interfere with it and make it slave to time. That's what we're doing. We're learning how to not interfere. Truth just is. It doesn't need our help. It doesn't need us to do anything except to not interfere. So may we dedicate ourselves to the eternal. I think I'll pause there. Does anybody have any insights or questions or comments or examples?
Yeah, I've got a question. This is Brandon. Yeah, going back to 14, I love the expression, the messengers of love, just because it's evocative. Could you comment on that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you bring that up because that stuck out to me. I was reading ahead earlier in the day for tonight, and I actually underlined that. For what the messengers of love are sent to do, they do, returning the glad tidings that it was done to you who stand together before the altar from which they were sent forth. Now, there is probably more than one way to interpret this. This is what's coming forward for me, and I invite anybody else, if you have anything, come forward to please do share. Let me give a quick example, and I think I've shared this before. I touch on this. I'm going to be releasing a video this week, and I touch on this, though it wasn't a course audience, so I don't get into it. I once, this is my blood draw story that I think I shared before, and I used to have a big old needle phobia, so having to go for this was like a big anxious deal, and the nurse who was doing the lab work was like, don't pass out on me, and guess what I did?
Oh.
I passed out. Well, almost. And rather than say that nurse was a lousy nurse, rather than go there, even though I had that fleeting thought, I thought, she's a witness to my own fear. My fears called this situation forth. I then had to go for more extensive lab testing because the doctor that I was seeing wanted me to, and it ended up being nothing, but it was still a very anxiety-provoking time. As you all know, my pattern used to be hypochondria, one of my many anxiety patterns. This second time, I had to go to a hospital to get this lab work done, and that made it even worse because I hated hospitals even more. Long story short, I go in. The woman behind the counter where I go into the outpatient wing is the mother of a college friend. Without my asking, she comes in the back. She does the labs for me, the draw, and we're chatting the whole time, so it was totally uneventful. And then as I'm leaving, she says, Corinne, this is amazing that I got to see you. She's like, I never work on Mondays. It was a Monday. And I got called in 30 minutes before you came because they were short. I had been up to that appointment, saying, I want to call forth witnesses to love. I want to call forth messengers of love. I want to call forth witnesses that I am now choosing for a miracle instead of choosing to feed the fear of the ego, even though I was still terrified. Like, I don't want to paint the picture that I was blissful going in there. I was still nervous. But I, as we just read, was dedicating myself to the eternal, was dedicating myself to the idea that what I'm experiencing out there is somehow coming from me. I don't understand how, but it's somehow coming from me. So I want to call forth these witnesses to love. So now when we read this sentence, for what the messengers of love are sent to do, they do. That, to me, speaks to the witnesses to love that we call forth in our experience. When we choose for Holy Spirit is like bursting at the seams to give us these messengers of love, to give us all of the evidence that our choice for Spirit is real, that we are beyond these bodies, that something much greater is there, you know, beyond the perception of the body's eyes. So when the sentence goes on, I'll just read it again. For what the messengers of love are sent to do, they do, returning the glad tidings that it was done to you who stand together before the altar from which they were sent forth. So in other words, again, I just interpret that as receiving the witnesses to love that I was willing to see, whether it's an example like this of just me or if I am, like all of us, I'd say all of us are joined on this call in a holy relationship because we're all committed to remembering the truth. So we all benefit from the experiences, the shares, the insights of one another. So we all experience these glad tidings that these miracles work. So does that help, Franny?
No, that was terrific, Corinne, because it made sense, especially as I linked it in with glad tidings, because I know in one of the lessons I did in the last week or so, the word tidings popped up, and I had to look it up. I wasn't sure what it meant. And it meant, it was simple, news, So as you just said, you know, evidence of the Holy Spirit, or you know, great evidence of the Holy Spirit, news from the Holy Spirit, that made a lot of sense to me. So, no, very helpful explanation on your part. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for bringing that up. That's I think, a really important thing to emphasize. And glad tidings. Bring it on, right? Bring on that good news, that great glad evidence, that beautiful evidence that there's, you know, that the body's eyes are just perceiving what is not true, and that we are eternal. So bring that on.
Yep, thank you.
Love it. Thank you, Franny. Anybody else have anything coming up?
As you were talking about that, that example you just gave, I really got such a sense that if we were just willing to call on the Holy Spirit going into any situation, how smoothly our lives would run, you know? And but again, you are where you are, and we're just got to do the best we can.
Yes, yes, definitely. You know, we have to be where we are. And in my own experience, this has been, we've used this example before of peeling away the layers of an onion. Wherever you're at that layer. And as you become willing, you know, to release whatever it is, whatever perceptions it is that are coming up at that moment, then we go to the next layer, which might happen immediately. It might happen sometime down the road. But it's like this, again, in my own experience, it's like peeling back the layers of an onion. And so we progressively keep going with this. And in my experience, then I started having moments of, oh, there is unconscious guilt there, or, you know, like, oh, there is the unconscious, you know, there now suddenly something's breaking to the surface that I hadn't been aware of before. And that's because now it's an additional opportunity to take that to Spirit. I wasn't aware of it before, but because of this commitment to this work, stuff eventually comes up. So it's important for us to remember that if things don't seem like they're going smoothly, that's okay, because we must be where we are. And whatever it is, whether it's a bumpy road or not, it's about taking that to Holy Spirit. Because as we've emphasized before, Meg has been great with bringing this up in the past, that whether we, or at least for some reason, Meg, maybe you said that you resonated with, you stand out in my mind, that whether the illusion seems to be happy or whether it seems to be a mess, it's still the illusion. You know, the ego can use happiness and, like, joyful things on its behalf, just as it can use the crappy stuff, too. So it is literally about taking everything to Holy Spirit, because, as we've said before, the goal of the Course is not to keep the ego comfortable. It's not to keep the ego happy and smooth. It's to undo the ego, to restore our identity to what it is, to restore our awareness of our true identity.
Corinne, one other thing that's really been helpful to me in the last couple of months, because it's only in the last couple of months I've started to really do this, but this idea that, Holy Spirit, please help me to forgive myself for using whatever situation, person, place, thing, you know, that disturbs, that I use to attack myself and separate from your love. There's something so powerful about that, because after a while you start to realize it's never about anything out there. It's never about what anyone did. They did nothing. Or even if it appears that they did something, it's not about you. It's only about you taking it in, internalizing it, and attacking yourself with it. And it makes no sense whatsoever to do that. So, Holy Spirit, please help me to forgive myself for doing that.
Right.
It's just really helping.
Corinne?
It's so powerful. That's such a powerful prayer. Yes, Sue.
I have a problem between the happiness of a healthy ego, somebody who is happy, joyful, seems to be loving in the Holy Spirit. How do I know when I'm in that and when I am engaging with the Holy Spirit? You say
so
it's
how do
not,
you know if you're in the happy part of the ego versus engaging with the Holy Spirit?
Right.
You actually don't have to worry about it as long as whatever you're doing with Spirit. This, I think, is a place where many of us get tripped up is, you know, am I listening to the ego or am I listening to Spirit? Or, you know, what am I doing? And honestly, am I still listening to ego? Yeah, again, I'm wholly committed to this, so it still is there, but it's always the willingness to give whatever you're doing to Spirit. So do what you feel, be how you are, do what you feel inclined to do, but do it with Spirit, and the ego, the happy ego that's there, will then fall away to be replaced by the peace of God that surpasses understanding. So in other words, the happiness, in terms of what I've experienced, when I am touching that happiness of Spirit, it is completely independent of anything outside of myself. It's completely independent of anything external. It has nothing to do with form. So that's sort of the best that I can say about that, but it's important that we don't get tripped up on, you know, where am I, which is which, because as long as we just continually bring our experience to Holy Spirit, we can trust that any ego that's there will fall away the moment we're ready to let it go.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Boy,
thank
that
you.
Is the perfect, that is just perfect. That is the perfect way to describe that. Thank you.
It makes it so much less, like, so much easier because we really don't have anything we have to worry about. Like, it really is just about not hanging on to anything, like not doing this alone anymore. So
It's as if your happiness depends on someone's behavior, something that you want, something out there, you know that's the ego.
Mhm. Mhm. Yes. Which is why
our happiness simply depends on that lack of separation.
Yeah.
Being in alignment with Source, with love.
Yeah. Which is why it was such a spiritual, you know, why if we're still having any difficulty with the outcome of the election, that's why this election, this outcome can take us to the next level, because our rug was, you know, if you felt distraught by the outcome, the rug of believing that things outside of ourselves had to be a certain way for us to feel safe, that rug got yanked. And so guess what? We have that idol fell. We have another opportunity to choose for Holy Spirit. So this is our grand learning opportunity.
It seems like it has to be learned over and over a little bit. But I'm getting there. And personally, I think what you said early on, you don't have to look at it. Don't turn it on. Don't expose yourself to it. It's crazy.
Mhm. Yeah. Franny, did I hear? Were you disagreeing, or did you have a question?
I was agreeing, and I wanted to throw in something since people have been talking about the election. And Corinne, I did see your video, which was very helpful. You know, one thing I realized about myself, like I was really junking out on the news as it got up to the election, and then I was really, as you said, the rug was pulled out from underneath me, and that was very disorienting. And I have not been on the news since, but I've really been thinking about how I behaved and thought running up to the election, and I saw that. And this realization wouldn't have come had the election gone the other way, but I realized how much I had been allowing myself to hate the other side and feel justified and okay about it. And that's been a very profound experience for me to think about the way I was being, and I didn't realize it until the rug was pulled out. So I'm sharing that now. It doesn't apply directly to these paragraphs we're reading, but since we're, you know, bringing up that subject.
Yeah.
It
applies. That's everything.
Yeah.
It's another opportunity to go deeper, and I'm right there with you. It gives us a grand opportunity to look at all that. And as I said before, just that language of, like, you know, the liberals, the conservatives, they, you know, the Republicans, the Democrats, whatever words it is that we are ascribing, that's the feeling okay with that, feeling justified in whatever that perspective is, it's so beautiful that we get that opportunity to look at what it was that was, or what is in the mind, for us to be willing to look at it with the Holy Spirit, to ask for the miracle instead. So, yeah, amazing. Awesome. Shall we keep reading, unless anybody else has a question or a comment? All right, let's go for it. We're going to start this next section called Sin versus Error, I believe. It's the same subheading in all the editions. So Sin versus Error. It is essential that error be not confused with sin. And it is this distinction which makes salvation possible. For error can be corrected and the wrong made right. But sin, were it possible, would be irreversible. The belief in sin is necessarily based on the firm conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack. And thus, the mind is guilty and will forever so remain, unless a mind not part of it can give it absolution. Sin calls for punishment as error for correction. And the belief that punishment is correction is clearly insane. Now, I have to say that this is hitting me on a whole new level, because in the past, I'd read this and I'd say, sure, there's no sin, there's just error. I get that. I don't fully jive with this thing that, like, you know, there's this belief in sin, and yet I now get this on a deeper level, because any guilt that we hold in our own minds, and going into that unconscious guilt that the Course says that we feel for believing that this is all real, that's the belief that we really, truly changed truth. That's a belief in, quote-unquote, sin. So this is clearly telling us throughout the entire Course, that there is no sin. There's only errors, and all of our errors can be undone in a moment, because nothing can change truth. So sin is not possible, and it says if it were, it would be irreversible, but again, there are only mistakes. So we can make mistakes, but they are that line from page 90 in FIP, the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of our wrong decision if we will let him, and we choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me. So that was my sort of deeper resonance with this idea of sin that I hadn't really connected with before. And I will just add to this last part, these last two sentences, sin calls for punishment as error for correction, and the belief that punishment is correction is clearly insane. So yes, that is clearly insane. And yet, with the unconscious guilt that breaks through, you know, sometimes we actually can touch the feeling of guilt. Other times it's just much more covert. The belief that of punishment is a reflection of our own fears of love, our own fears of God. And so that's where, in the past, I've mentioned and have a video blog that if we notice certain sayings in our language, like, you know, God only gives you what you can handle, God takes away the good to make room for the better, that all sounds like a punishing God. And so it's important that we look at everything that we hold in our own minds in which we believe that God does things to us that God punishes. It's important for us to look at that with Holy Spirit to undo our fear of God.
I had a deep, deep fear come up today. My husband has been watching Netflix, the Henry VIII series on the Tudors, and he says, this is really interesting. I want you to watch it with me. So I've been watching some of them. Well, it's during the Reformation and all of that. Well, of course, everything that went on there about, you know, how you were treated, you know, how the king treated them. They were beheaded, you know, and they were, I will go willingly to die for my Lord, you know, the Reformation. They were burned at the stake and all of this horrible stuff. Well, I was sitting and I was realizing that I was getting increasingly more fearful. Hmm. And I thought, dear God, what is this about? And I saw an image of a cross in my mind. And I thought, oh, how many times have I looked at a cross in my church that I grew up in? And I realized what that symbolized. God wants me to die. God wants me to die. If I'm a son of, learning this course, if I'm a son of God and Jesus died on the cross, God wants me to die. I had hit me right between the eyes, and I never really looked at it. What a fear that was that washed over me, that I had to look at that with spirit. That is really, really down there. And that's what are basically our whole religious culture thinks. Mm-hmm. Once you go to God, God wants, you know, Jesus shed his blood for you is what, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a, wow, what a fear that was faced with that.
But what, how beautiful it was that you were willing to look at that with spirit.
Yes.
That's,
and to know, and I said, what is this about? And I was just right in my mind's eye, I saw a cross, and I just knew immediately what I had been associating that with.
Mm-hmm.
Not the redemption, and I'll be honest with you, I still go to that church because I love to sing in that choir, and it's a lot of the, you know, Jesus shed his blood for me and all of that, and I had, you know, you think you're ignoring that, but it's, I have to make a decision there because make a decision.
Yeah. I'm really glad you brought this up, Sue, because it's, again, having these breakthroughs, having these times when the fear does really come up, that's the beauty of this, is that if we think about this, if we had a look at that alone, that's just going to increase fear, but we have the Holy Spirit to look with us. This is where we're not doing this alone. We're looking at this with spirit. And so therefore, we're giving an opportunity for a miracle to come in. You know, and you also made me think, yes, it's that thinking is so ingrained in religion, but also just, again, as the course is teaching, just a sheer part of, you know, seemingly being in these separate bodies. Isn't it interesting how much we use fear as entertainment? Like just thinking about the show that you mentioned, and that's just fascinating. That's just, it's interesting to me how much we use fear as entertainment. And of course, though, try this. Whenever we're watching something, say, hey, Holy Spirit, I want to watch this with you, and we'll start seeing course messages, maybe, depends on the show, but I know there's, I've put, I think, a couple of blog posts up about some different things, and I know there's other teachers like David Hoffmeister and John Mark Stroud who use movies to bring out the spiritual messages in them, so we can watch whatever it is that we're watching with Holy Spirit also.
Well,
and again, that to remember in those moments, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using this television program to disturb my peace and attack myself. There's something so incredible about that because I find everything shifts. It just shifts like rapidly. It's almost like delete, you know? It's like I'm just deleting it.
Well, it was interesting. When I was watching it, I would almost cry and just be so grateful and say, God, you did not create this. This is not true. This is a dream that I'm watching, actually, right here. This is not your will for your son, so it never happened. You know, and that was a true experience. But then I got down to what I was down in the unconscious when I was really looking at it, and it came up. It came up that was there. So there were two levels there. There was the level that the surface level, and then there was the unconscious. And like you say, Corinne, I was able to look at it with spirit.
Yep. Which repurposes the whole experience into an opportunity for
experience.
Healing instead of an opportunity to strengthen fear.
Yes.
Awesome.
Can I throw in, you're just talking
please.
About this. Yeah. What a great discussion this is, everyone. Well, just about the cross, I'm just having all these thoughts where, you know, I grew up in Boston, Irish Catholic family. Every Sunday you better be there or else. And I remember as a boy just being so confounded by that central symbol of my faith. And I still feel confounded about it. And what I'm getting from everyone here is like I can actually bring that feeling of confusion to the Holy Spirit, which I've never done. So I want to thank everyone for letting me think these new thoughts, because I do want to see it in a new way. I do see it as a destructive, painful punishment symbol. I'd rather it not be that way. But thanks for bringing all that to my attention and awareness.
Oh, Franny, thank you for saying that. And I'm moved by your words about, you know, thinking these new thoughts and making that, you know, connection that this is also something that you can look at with the Holy Spirit too. And that's where the Course is prompting us to, it says, I'm not going to be able to find it. I wrote an article that I'm like, where did I just cite this? John Mundy actually invited me to submit an article for his Miracles magazine in January, February, so it'll be there, but I'll post it on my blog afterwards, where I quoted the Course quote that says to learn from this Course that actually it's asking us to question every single belief that we hold, every perception. And so hearing what you just reflected about this, you know, being another place that you can look at with Holy Spirit is just so inspiring to me, because that's what this is all about. It's about withholding nothing.
That's terrific. It's a new place for me to explore, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, I appreciate your sharing. It's inspiring to me. Thank you so much.
Hello, Corinne?
Yes.
Hi.
Is that Alicia?
Yes.
Hi.
I wanted to, this discussion has inspired me to share something that I experienced recently. I guess you could call it a miracle, that shifted perspective from fear to love. So I did a video on my Facebook page about cleaning as an art form. Nothing particularly controversial or anything that could, in my mind anyway, cause any type of resistance. However, I got a really, what one could call hateful, I mean, bottom gutter hateful comment. And I saw it, and I was really shocked, because I had not even, I mean, you know, if you post something that's controversial, political, you kind of, if you suspect that you'll be getting various different some resistance, some backlash, but this video, there was nothing, in my view, in it that would even spark such a hateful response. And, you know, I invited Holy Spirit in, and I ended up deleting it, and I thought maybe I'll send her a message and ask her what that was all about, because we're friends on Facebook, and we have mutual friends. We're not really friends. I don't know her. And you know what? I prayed about it after I unfriended her. And then I just experienced so much peace thinking about the course teaching, you know, as far as when if I attack my brother, I attack myself. And when my brother attacks me, he attacks himself. And I went and I looked on her page, and it was the message that I got was still more hateful than I could ever even imagine. Like, it's my brain can't even wrap my mind around it, but I can now because it happened. But looking with Holy Spirit, I felt her pain. I don't know what she's going through, but her page was full of pain, you know, not overt kind of pain, oh, I'm going through this. But I say all that to say is that, you know, we often learn in the course that even if we don't think something is working, like even if we don't believe maybe in, you know, one of the lessons, but to do it, just to have the intention to do it and to invite Holy Spirit in, it affects us. It changes us. And I did not, like, as peaceful as a person as I consider myself, there are things that I get triggers about. And I did not even expect or I couldn't even fathom the level of peace that was happening. And there was some pain and discomfort because it was just unusually hateful, and I don't get a lot of hate responses. I don't really have anything, like I said, that's controversial or just interesting enough to hate. But I just, again, what it did for me is deepen my faith in following the teachings of A Course in Miracles, even when certain concepts just either frustrate me or don't make any sense at all, and just doing the lesson. And but yeah, it was just such a great, great blessing. And the peace that I experienced, you know, with that comment, and like I said, my faith for the course just deepened, and it made me want to open up more to really looking for ways to apply the teachings or just be more open, even more open than I have already been to the teachings, because they change us, and it shows up when we least expect, and that's what happened mm-hmm. recently. I was like, wow, okay, so...
Wow is right. Wow is right with allowing such a challenging situation and a painful one to be a learning opportunity, to be an opportunity to strengthen, you know, your commitment to turning to Holy Spirit and to listening and practicing these principles. So that's beautiful, Elisheva. Mm-hmm. I feel really inspired. You know, a couple thoughts came to mind. There's a course quote that says something to the effect of how the crucified gives pain because they are in pain. And so your reflection of seeing, you know, that this person was in pain, it doesn't surprise me then that they would be the ones to, you know, give something so unloving. And yet then I'm sort of now adding my own stuff based on my own experiences recently with going back to, you know, the prayer that Paula's been bringing up. I'm so grateful, Paula, that you've been bringing it up so much, because we need to keep hearing it. The Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using this person, you know, to attack myself and separate from your love. And in the article that I just referenced that'll be in the Miracles magazine, what I was talking about, it was the title of it is The Real Reason, something like The Real Reason We Struggle with Difficult People or something. It's inspired by Trump, but I don't name Trump at all. I wanted to keep it neutral, and not just inspired by him, but you know, that's been a rich discussion point lately. I shared a story about how I was at a gathering, and a person, there's been generations of alcohol abuse and addiction in my family. This person made a comment about binge drinking that I just found to be so inappropriate, and it just immediately put me into this, like, oh my gosh, you know, the denial of my family is so thick, you could cut it with, you know, a knife. And my mom said to me, bless her, because she's a course student too, she said, Corinne, he is a reflection of the part of your own mind. Because the only way that I could cope with that at the time was to say, he does not want to wake up. This person does not want to wake up. And my mom said, Corinne, he's a reflection of the part of your own mind that does not want to wake up. And that stopped me in my tracks. That stopped me in my tracks. Because, again, there it is, where this is all, you know, about, this is all coming from me. This is all about my turning to Holy Spirit with everything that happened. So I so appreciate the story, Alicia Vaughn. I can really, really relate to it.
I wanted to ask you a question. What you just shared, it sparked something else. When it first happened, my immediate thought went to, is there something in me that feels this way? And if there is, I certainly can't pinpoint it. So I guess the question is, how do you know if everything that we're seeing and experiencing is something that we projected or and we attracted? That's something that came so out of, I would say out of left field, but I don't even, not any field that I am aware of or conscious of, even inside myself. I mean, I've been like feeling really good, really high vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And I just,
I gotcha.
How do you know?
Yeah.
If it's coming from you or just.
This goes back to the course teaching about how the ego wrote the script of separation the moment we had this tiny, crazy, mad idea and forgot to laugh at it. So I, rather than get tripped up again, this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about, oh, how is this coming from me, or, you know, what is it in me, that we can get stuck there, where all we need to do, again, is exactly what you did, Alicia Ba, which is just to, you know, turn back to Holy Spirit. That situation of, you know, that person leaving that comment, it's a different form of what I would experience, which is the ego dangling a golden carrot in front of me with an opportunity for me to start freaking out over a physical symptom. It's all, there'll be countless opportunities where the ego is, that's temptation to reengage in, you know, the conflict, in keeping it real. So we have that opportunity always to take the hook or to turn to Holy Spirit, or take the hook and then turn to Holy Spirit, however it is that it happens. So it comes from the sleeping, you know, the part of our mind that's asleep, dreaming this dream. It goes back for me on that deep, deep, deep level that we might not always be able to see a conscious connection, you know, between something out there and something in our own mind. And rather than get caught in it, get caught up with that, it's always our job just to turn to Holy Spirit, just like you did.
Okay. Thank you for sharing.
You know, those early workbook lessons, those first 10 workbook lessons really says it all. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world.
Oh,
it's all meaningless. And the ego loves to get us in there and analyze it and, you know,
yeah,
and freak
yeah.
out by it. And none of it
yep.
can hurt us
yep.
in any way. It says, this course is simple. And it really, really is. But to the ego, it is so personally insulting.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just share one other thing, and I want to just make sure everybody's shared who wanted to share. I watched a video from Corrine Walson, I think yesterday, on Facebook, and it was phenomenal. She said that we still think, I need to align myself with these higher thoughts, or I need to listen to Holy Spirit better. In just in that thinking that I need to choose for Holy Spirit, we're already separating ourselves. We're already separating ourselves. Take a step back. Remember that God is, truth is, only love is, and that's what we are made of. There's no separation then in that thought. So I loved that because it was a nice little reset from the type of thinking that I get caught in with thinking that I'm the one doing the choosing, and that's the grand illusion, right, that there is this small self. So I just wanted to offer that because I thought it was really helpful.
Clarification, please, on that. Isn't there a part of the mind that decides?
There is a decision maker, yes, and this is almost like taking a step out, like this is the expression, what Corrine shared to me was that almost rising above, that we're even greater than that decision-making mind. The decision-making mind is there because we've chosen to believe in separation, but this is something even before that, if that makes sense.
Okay. I'm not there yet.
I can share her video with you, so
okay.
It might be helpful if you hear it coming directly from her.
You know, earlier
Franny,
today,
did you have anything? Oh, I'm sorry. What was that, Paula?
Earlier today, when I got up this morning, we're talking about all this. I fall into these drama dreams. It's incredible, but I was really in a drama dream, and I thought, you know, I don't want to start the day this way. I really want, and I said, Holy Spirit, I'm going to open that book, and I want relief. And I'm telling you, I opened up to the most incredibly appropriate, dealt with exactly the situation. There's something so wonderful about that. And I'm telling you, I had a great day. It just erased it for me. It just put everything into perspective.
Beautiful. Thank you, Paula. Franny, did you have anything you wanted to say? Or I feel like I may have heard your voice for a moment.
Actually, no, other than tremendous gratitude, because I feel like this is the third time I've been on the call, and it's motivating me in my daily reading and just my love of the Course. So I just want to thank you and everyone on the call. I just feel so excited about what we're talking about. So it's great.
I feel so grateful too. Thank you, Franny. And that's
You're
a great
welcome.
Note, I think, for us to end on, since we're at the top of our time together. So thank you, everyone, from the bottom of my
thank
heart
you.
For showing up
Good
and
night.
For being committed
thank
to
you.
This. So love
you,
you all. See you next week.
All right.
Bye,
thank
everybody.
You so much, Corrine.
Bye, family.
Bye, Carla. Bye.
Bye.